So, you know, what I hope to convince you of by the end of this talk is that by revisiting a lot of file system design decisions, we can build new file systems that match the performance of conventional file systems on things that they excel at, and outperform them by orders of magnitude on things that they do poorly at. And as Jeff mentioned, this talk is about the BetterFS project. The goal of the BetterFS project is to build a high-performance general-purpose file system. And general-purpose file systems have a lot of different performance demands. They have to be good at sequential reads and writes. They have to be good at random writes. They have to be good at file and directory operations like renames and deletes and recursive directory traversals and scans, like come up in backup workloads, metadata updates like ATIME updates. There's a lot of different demands on the file system design. And traditionally, some of these requirements seem to be at odds. So there seem to be many trade-offs in the performance design of a file system. One of the classic ones is the apparent trade-off between sequential read performance and random write performance. And this is exemplified in sort of traditional file systems like EXT4 that perform updates in place and therefore have good sequential read performance because they keep the data in order. And log structured file systems that are very good at random writes because they just append them to a log, but then the data can get scattered, which means that when you go to read it back in a logically sequential order, it might not be so fast because you have to do a lot of disk seeks. And a big part of the message of the first BetterFS paper from 2015 was that this trade-off is not necessary if you use new data structures like write-optimized data structures. But this is not the only trade-off or apparent trade-off in file system design. There's lots of others. One that I want to talk about today is the apparent trade-off between performance for file and directory renames and recursive directory scans. And the type of file system that would excel at renames is one that uses inodes, which almost all file systems do, because basically a rename is just a pointer update a couple pointers, and now the object is at its new home. But then if you scan through that directory structure, you might have to follow all those pointers, and those translate into disk seeks, and you can have bad performance. At the other extreme would be full path indexing file systems that attempt to essentially keep the data on disk in an order that corresponds to a recursive directory traversal. And so then those can go really fast, but then renaming can be expensive. And I want to dive into how a full path indexing file system works so we can really understand this trade-off and see if we can overcome it. So here's an example of a typical file system. On the left, I have sort of a logical diagram of the file system. It's got slash home, then like my home directory, slash home, slash rob. I've got a doc directory under there, latex under there, a.tech, b.tech are files in that directory, and so on. And on the right, I'm showing how it might be physically laid out on disk in a full path indexing system, where each entry in the file system is stored consecutively on disk after the previous one. And it's stored in a depth first search traversal order so that, for example, if you do a recursive grep under home rob doc, then what corresponds to a DFS traversal on the logical structure translates into a sequential scan of the data on disk. And so that means that this depth first traversal of the file system ends up running at, or can run at, disk bandwidth because it's just sequential I/O off of the disk. So that's great. That's the advantage of using a full path indexing scheme. The downside is when you go to rename your data. If I want to move the LaTeX directory to be not under doc, but just directly under my home directory, then in the logical view, this is a simple update, just a deletion of one edge in the logical view and a creation of a new edge. But in the physical layout, we have to sit there and physically move the data from its old location to its new location in order to preserve the nice order that enabled us to do the fast recursive scan in the previous example. And so that can take a lot of time. So now we've seen the upside and the downside kind of at an abstract level for full path indexing versus inodes. This actually really matters in real systems Here are two benchmarks on EXT4, which is a classic inode-based file system, and the initial prototype of BetterFS, which used full path indexing. And the first benchmark is a recursive grep of the Linux source, which is a classic recursive directory traversal. And as we can see, by using full path indexing, BetterFS is able to do the scan about 15 times faster than EXT4, because it runs at some decent fraction of disk bandwidth. The second benchmark, though, is when we go to rename the source directory. And here it's a little embarrassing. BetterFS is orders of magnitude slower because what for EXT4 is just a couple of pointer updates, for BetterFS is basically copying the Linux source tree from one directory to another. And so, you know, the takeaway from here is that BetterFS, the initial version of BetterFS and EXT4, represent different trade-offs in this performance space between rename and scan performance. And so one of the main contributions of our FAST 2016 paper is a new technique which we call zoning to get both fast renames and fast scans. And so I'm going to focus on that for this talk, and then I'm going to briefly sketch a couple of other contributions from the FAST 2016 paper, and then I'll walk through a high-level overview of our evaluation. So the cartoon picture of what we have seen is that a file system with lots of indirection, i.e. pointers, can have a very low rename cost, but it can have a high scan cost. And a file system that maintains a lot of locality can have a really good scan performance, but can have expensive renames. And so the goal with zones is to hit this sweet spot in the middle where we have enough indirection for fast renames, but enough locality for fast scans. And the idea behind a zone-based file system is to take the directory hierarchy and to break it into what we call zones, which are just contiguous subtrees of the file system directory tree. And then within a zone, we use a full path indexing scheme. And between zones, we use indirection pointers like inodes. And what this means is that when you're doing a recursive directory traversal, as long as you're working within a single zone, you don't have to do any disk seeks. That can just be done at basically disk bandwidth, and you only have to do a disk seek when you cross from one zone to another. And so if you think about it, that means you want big zones. If the zones are big, that means you get to do a lot of work before you have to do a disk seek. Now let's talk about how you do renames in a zone-based file system. There's two cases. In one case, you might be renaming an object that is the top-level object or the root of the zone in which it lives. So zone 2 only contains a single object, this file 1.mp4. And so if we want to move that from the video directory into the doc directory, then all that requires is to make a new pointer to the file or the zone containing that file at the new location, and then to delete the old pointer. So just like an inode-based file system, that's just an easy, constant amount of work. The other case is when we're renaming a file or directory that is not the top-level object in its zone. So for example, suppose we want to move the LaTeX directory from underneath the doc directory to underneath my home directory, just like in the previous example. What this involves is disconnecting it from the directory in that zone 1, physically copying the data so it now lives in zone 2, and then hooking it into the file system hierarchy inside of zone 2. And what that means is if we want to have an upper bound on the cost of doing a rename, then we want zones to be small, because no rename will ever involve copying more than one zone's worth of data. So to get fast renames, we want small zones. To get fast scans, we want large zones. And the idea is going to be that we're going to keep the zone size in a sweet spot by splitting zones that get too large and merging zones that get too small. If you know B trees, merging and splitting of leaves in B trees, it's the same basic idea. And so by doing this, we're going to be able to build a file system that offers good performance on both these operations, renames and scans. And so the first question is, how big should zones be? And we're going to derive this empirically by measuring the performance of the file system for different zone sizes. This first benchmark shows the performance of recursive directory scans as a function of zone size. And as we expected, as the zone size gets larger and larger, the time to do the scan goes down. In the second benchmark, we're showing the time to do a rename as a function of the zone size. And there's two cases here. The best case corresponds to, as I described, the time to do a rename when you're renaming the top-level object in a zone, and it's just a couple of pointer updates. And there, it doesn't really matter how big your zones are, pointer updates or pointer updates. And so that curve is flat. The black curve is the worst case time to do a rename. And that's essentially the time to copy an entire zone. And of course, that's going to go up as the zone size gets larger. And so basically, by picking a cutoff for the zone size, we're going to say we're not going to stay on that black curve beyond that point. Once a zone gets above that point, we're going to jump down to the dashed blue line. And so in BetterFS 0.2, we chose a default zone size of 512 kilobytes, which bounds our rename time to about 50 or 60 milliseconds while still giving us most of the performance benefit in terms of our recursive scans. So that is the high-level design of a zone-based file system and how we measured and decided the zone size for BetterFS. I now want to turn to briefly describing the other contributions of BetterFS 0.2. A problem that's faced by a lot of presenters is, okay. A problem that's faced by a lot of file systems is if you're a journaling file system and you want to do full data journaling, then you are often stuck with half the disk bandwidth because all the data that gets written to the file system gets written twice, once to the journal and then once to the actual file system's main data structures. And BetterFS is a full data journaling file system. And in BetterFS 0.1, on a disk that actually had a raw bandwidth of about 125 megabytes per second, it only got about 30 megabytes per second. And a large part of this was because of the overhead of the full data journaling, writing the data twice. There are a couple other things as well. And you know, this compares quite poorly to EXT4, which was able to get about 110 megabytes per second, although this is not quite an apples-to-apples comparison because EXT4 is not configured for full data journaling here. So in the FAST 2016 paper, we describe a technique that we call a late-binding journal, which enables BetterFS 0.2 to have full data journaling semantics while still essentially operating at disk bandwidth. It doesn't have to write data twice to get the bandwidth, to get the full data journaling properties. I don't have time in this talk to go into how we do that, but I'd love to tell you offline or you can go read the paper. Another performance problem that we had in BetterFS 0.1 was file deletions. File deletion in BetterFS 0.1 was linear in the size of the file. So in case you were wondering if that green mark was just a bug in the graph, no, it was not. It actually was the performance of deletions in BetterFS 0.1. It started off quite slow and just got slower as the files got larger and larger. Although note it is at a log scale on the x-axis. To solve this problem, we actually dove down into the data structures that are used underneath BetterFS and implemented a new primitive operation called arrange-cast-delete, which just deletes a whole bunch of keys in a key-value store in a single shot. And by using that to implement file deletions in BetterFS 0.2, we now have essentially a constant latency, we're only about 30% faster than EXT4 for large file deletes. Okay, so I've described several techniques that we use to fix performance problems in BetterFS 0.1, but the big question is, the thing that we were excited about with BetterFS 0.1 is that it performed really well on some operations, And we'd like to double check that we didn't have to give up any performance on those things in order to fix these other problems. So one thing that BetterFS excelled at was random writes. And in this first benchmark, we're plotting the throughput in megabytes of a benchmark that does just a whole bunch of, I think, 4-byte random writes to a file. And as you can see, we actually outperform ext4 by orders of magnitude. And by the way, I'm not picking on ext4 throughout this talk. It may seem that way after a while, but this is pretty typical of all the other file systems we measured. I just wanted to focus on ext4 as a common point of reference that I thought everyone would know in this talk. And we haven't had to give up any performance. In fact, it's gotten better in BetterFS 0.2. In the second benchmark, we're evaluating how quickly we can create files inside of a balanced directory hierarchy. And as you can see in BetterFS, so what we're plotting on the y-axis is the cumulative throughput after we have created the ith file. So the x-axis represents how many files we have created so far, and the y-axis is how quickly we were able to do it. And notice that the y-axis is on a log scale. So BetterFS 0.1 was a couple of orders of magnitude faster than EXE4 on this benchmark. And BetterFS 0.2 is even faster than BetterFS 0.1, still over 100 times faster than EXE4. Now, you do see some interesting artifacts here. What happens in BetterFS 0.2 is there comes a certain point in the benchmark where all the zones in the file system have gotten really large, and every new file that gets created starts causing us zone splits, and that goes on for a while. But once that's done, the performance recovers, and it continues to operate much, much faster, even than the old BetterFS. So the takeaway from these benchmarks is that we haven't had to give up any performance in order to get these new performance benefits for renames and deletes and sequential I/O. Now let me show you what happens with real-world applications. Here are two benchmarks based on Git. In the first one, we're doing a Git clone, and we're comparing against EXE4, XFS, ButterFS, and ZFS. And the y-axis is time, so lower is better. And a Git clone, if you might think about it, it's a bunch of file creates, which we're good at, but it's also a bunch of writing to files. And sequential writes we weren't so good at. And so BetterFS 0.1 was actually the slowest file system in this benchmark. And now with BetterFS 0.2, thanks to our improved I/O performance, we're basically in the middle of the pack with all the other file systems. For a Git diff workload, a Git diff is just like a grep, you might think. It's a classic recursive directory traversal. So we were already excelling on BetterFS 0.1, excelled at that. And now we're just even doing better. So recursive directory scan performance really does matter for real world benchmarks. Here's a Dovecot IMAP workload. This is quite different from the either of the Git benchmarks. We're running a Dovecot IMAP server using a maildir mail format. And maildir stores each mail message in an individual file. So this benchmark has lots of file creates, file deletes, file renames, and you know, small metadata operations like that. BetterFS 0.1 was the second fastest file system after ZFS. And BetterFS 0.2 has gotten better, which I think reflects the improved performance to renames and deletes. So in conclusion, you know, I think the takeaway here is that a write-optimized file system can be a general-purpose file system. You don't have to make trade-offs in your file system design, and write optimization is not a trade-off between write performance and read performance. Write optimization is a way to improve across-the-board performance. And BetterFS is an example of a write-optimized file system that uses new file system design approaches to get really strong performance on all of the basic operations. And as a result, it also has strong performance across a lot of applications. And taking a step back, I think there's an opportunity here to revisit a lot of file system design decisions that we've been working with over the last few decades in light of new data structures. such a, you know, like the broad optimized data structures we use in BetterFS. Code's available at betterfs.org. We'd love to have you try it out and let us know what you think. Thank you very much.
Hi, Rob. Good to see you.
Hey.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
We started school together 20 years ago. Not quite that long. But in any case, so when you do the random writes, it did better than EXT4, but it was still about an order of magnitude slower than sequential writes. Is there any getting around that? It looked like it was like 120 kilobytes per second, if I read the graph right.
So for the random writes, you know, it really is something like 100 times faster or 300 times faster.
Yeah, but I just mean it's not 120 megabytes per second. So it's
there's still a huge gap between this and the disk bandwidth.
Right. Getting around that?
Not that I know of. That there's lower bounds on how fast you can do random writes to like something like a key value store.
So I have a question. I was surprised by how much better ZFS did in the single benchmark of the Mailder. What is the source of that speed? Do you know?
I don't, but we would love to know.
So I should tell you.
Yeah. So if you look at, BetterFS 2.0.2 is something like it's first or second place in almost all the application benchmarks we did, except for one. And so I kind of have a pet project to make it win all the benchmarks, and I want to understand what's going on with that ZFS benchmark.
Okay, let's thank Rob.